intention of free. I want to come just be in the house with y'all.
Man, if I can feel God's presence, that's a blessing. And I thought about what's been said, and truthfully, I mean, you listen to it, and I thought this morning as I was sitting at the house, and I thought, you know, for our family, all the dinners are done. We had our last one last night, Brother Roger. Yeah. My family, we had the dinner last night. Mary's family, we had that a week ago, this time is a busy time of year. But as I sat there this morning, Brother Roy, I looked out the back window, and I thought, God, what's so precious to me this time of the year is when all the hustle and bustle is over.
Yeah.
And I can just sit and meditate and just thank God for what He did. And thank God for what He's done for me.
Yes.
And now I look at my wife and my children and grandchildren, and I just start counting the blessings out there one by one, and there's just really nowhere to stop. And folks are going everywhere. And the brother said, you know, talked about all the things in life that you have and you're blessed with. And I thought, everything in life that you gain in this side of eternity, you realize every bit of it's going to perish.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing worth holding on to in this life. Of people that, and they're killing themselves to gain things in this world. But the best present ever given can be found right in the house of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank God this morning. Yes. Almighty loves me. Well, I'm going to direct your attention today, if I may. As we said, we didn't come not to preach, didn't come to preach, just want to feel God's presence. And I have already felt that. I hope and pray that you have too. And today, we're just overwhelmed and overjoyed. 11th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 11. Very, very familiar scripture. And it's already been referenced to this morning when somebody was talking about prayers being answered. I believe the comment was made that about being 4 days late. Sometimes it's more than 4 days. But I'm reminded of a song they sung, just hold on. Just hold on. Hey, listen, I'm reminded of what Jesus tells us. You know, the scripture tells us in the last days people will come and will say, where is the appearing of His coming? You realize that the day that Jesus left and stepped out on a cloud, that the church has been waiting for Him to come back. And this world, they'll look and they'll say, all this time has passed and we just don't know. Hey, listen, I believe as a church, we still ought to be looking for His coming.
Yeah.
Jesus said, don't get weary in well-doing. We are the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We ought to let our light shine. Hey, listen, I'm encouraged today by the young people that we heard get up and sing, and the ones that, requested prayer for their friends and their loved ones. Hey, listen, that's what we ought to be. This is the battle we're facing. Hey, listen, it's more than just getting up on a Sunday and coming to the house of God. Hey, listen, that's not the battle. The battle is when we're out there and we're letting our light shine to a lost and dying world. There's folks dying every day around us, and they're without hope, and they're seeking. Oh, we ought to let our light shine, Brother Roger. Let them realize that as long as the church of God is here, there is hope to be had and found. Hey, listen, it's not in the things of this world. It's in Jesus Christ. Thank God I've got a Savior sitting high on the throne. Listen, looking down upon you and I. And though it may not appear someday that He is listening, I'm encouraged that even though we may not see, and even though we may get weary along the way, and even though we are waiting for the answer to come, and we may not see it out in front of us, that God's hand is working somewhere in the background. He is never idle. He is never asleep. But He is ever present. And He is always willing to give strength to His children. Oh, listen, when Satan wants to beat you up and beat you down and tell you there's no hope, just get on your knees and have a conversation with God. And it won't be long and you'll feel the power and the presence of the Spirit stir inside of you. And then you'll know that God is listening to your prayers. And listen, we may not always see when the answer's coming. It might come out of left field. It might come out of right field. We don't know when it's coming and we don't know where it's going afterward. But rest assured of this, that if you are a child of God, your prayer is not in vain.
Amen.
You believe that today?
Yeah.
We ought to encourage one another with these things. Well, listen, because surely we know when we get off by ourselves somewhere. And listen, and I am not an advocate of giving the devil any credit whatsoever. I hate sin. I hate the devil. Hey, listen, I hate what it's doing to our people. I hate the fact that I've got loved ones who I've seen shout right in the house of God that will not get up and go anywhere. Hey, listen, because they are living a defeated spiritual life, because they have gotten to the point where they've listened to the adversary for too long. Hey, listen, you ought to be, we ought to be stronger than that. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to help one another. Hey, listen, if Satan could divide us, you realize he would split the church of God right down the middle. Oh, but I'm glad that Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Hey, did you ever doubt that? Read John chapter 17.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, listen, he prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples,
yes,
and he prayed for you and I.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
Now we're going to get into Scripture. Jesus said, or the Bible tells us, John records in the Gospel in the 11th chapter, he says, now a certain man was sick.
Yeah.
Oh, if you want to stand, please do.
Yeah.
A certain man was sick named Lazarus. We all know the story of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.
Yeah.
When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God.
Yeah.
That the Son of God might be glorified
yes.
thereby.
Amen.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And you can be seated.
Yeah.
I want to preach to you today, by the help of the Lord, about the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
The love of Christ. Listen, we can look at this scripture today and we can preach this really every Sunday. We ought to be preaching about, listen, the love of God. And I know that we're living in a time and an age where I heard a dear brother the other day. He said, Victor, I turn on the television and all they are the radio. And he said, you know, all they're preaching is love and they're preaching prosperity. I said, hey, listen, I'm not all for the things that you hear on the television, the things you hear on the radio. Actually, the last time I checked was probably months ago. I don't listen to a lot of that nonsense, Brother Roger, because about 5 minutes in, they start trying to fleece your wallet. And I don't pay attention to that. But they'll tell you, oh, if you do this, you're going to prosper here, prosper there. I'm going to tell you something. You know when you prosper in life? When you start giving God all the credit and glory for everything you ever have. And it's when you start thanking Him for the day that He allows you to wake up. You start thanking Him for the food that goes in your body. You start thanking Him for the job that you have. You thank Him, giving credit for everything you do every day in life. And it's don't pay attention to the world. The world will always be there. Sin will always be there. But you glorify God in your life. And you absolutely will live prosperous in this world. And listen, I'm not talking about prosperity doctrine of the world. I'm talking about being a strong Christian. And listen, one that's not ashamed to stand in the face of the crowd and say, I belong to Jesus. He is my helper. And listen, He is my strength. He is my comfort. I owe everything to God. And listen, I don't owe it to the factory. I don't owe it to the job. I don't owe it to anybody. Hey, some say, well, I lean on my mom and dad. I thank God for the teachings that my parents gave me. But hey, listen, they couldn't do for me what Jesus did for me at 17 years old.
Yeah.
And ever since that day, He's never left me or forsaken me. Not one time.
Never will.
No.
And so here it was that Jesus, they probably thought that He was off with His disciples. Lazarus was laid and dead. And listen, Mary and Martha, I would imagine they was wringing their hands at home. And Martha was saying, Mary, and listen, if Jesus would have been here, our brother wouldn't be in the grave.
Yeah.
And probably some of the Pharisees that were in the house were starting to kind of murmur and said, you know, Jesus said He loved him, but He wasn't here. We're here, but He's not here. And so now here we are consoling these two women in their home and this man that they held out and the man that they held in such high regard. He's nowhere in sight. And Lazarus is already dead. And he's been there for 4 days. Oh, listen. And so I would imagine there was a whole lot of murmuring going on. But they was missing one thing. That Jesus loved Mary. That Jesus loved Martha. And Jesus loved Lazarus. Oh, listen, aren't you glad that when everything seems down in your life, there is consolation to be had in knowing that Jesus loves you.
Yes.
No matter what this world tells you, no matter what heartaches you're going through, I want to remind you of the love that Jesus has just for you.
Yes.
Listen, and it's a love that some folks will say, well, I love those people over at the church. Yes. I love my family. I love this group of people. Or, oh, I love this group of people. Listen, and that's all well and good. But I'm talking to you about a love that is personal. Yeah. A love that goes right down to a level where He calls you yes. by name. And listen, He knows your inner being. Nobody. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intent of your heart. He loves you. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to remind you this today. Before we get any further in the scripture, you realize today that each and every one of us are here this morning, we're not worthy of His love.
Amen. Amen.
Not a one of us.
Not a bit.
All of us.
Didn't deserve it.
No.
And even though we didn't deserve it, He yeah. first loved us.
Amen.
Before we ever loved
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
You realize when He, when the Father looked at the Son, hey, listen, and that plan was already made, I believe, from the foundation of the foundation of the world. I believe that Jesus knew He was coming. Yeah. And listen, from the very beginning, when men turned their back on God yeah. right out of the gate, and listen, man, they didn't even make it a generation. They was right out of the gate. Adam
That's
and Eve
right.
disobeyed God, and they had to be separated from Him, out of right. His presence from the very start.
Yeah.
They were unworthy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that failed each and every one of us.
Because
there's none righteous, no, not one.
No.
Yes.
The Bible says. But even though there's none righteous, Jesus
Amen.
Still loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
I thought about the love of Christ. We'll try to hurry through. And I thought about how the love of Christ, and listen, if you were here lost, I want you to know something. I want to make this real clear.
Yes.
I want you to understand this. If you're here lost today, the love that you think you know does not compare to the love that I'm talking about.
That's right.
The love of Christ is far different than the love of this world. And I'll say this to you that are here saved by the grace of God. And listen, there might have been a point in your life before you were saved that you fully thought you knew what love was, and you thought you could comprehend what love was, but then you got born again and you realized how greater love that God has. Hey, listen, I'm talking about a love, hey, listen, that got me up off of an altar, Brother Roger, and the only one that I cared about on the day that I got saved was a young lady I was sitting next to. But when I got up and turned around, there was a whole bunch of people I had love for. I didn't love them before then, but when God, listen, poured His love inside of me and poured His Spirit inside me, I have a greater love. I believe one of the writers said you love the brethren. How do you know you pass from death unto life?
Yeah.
Because you love the brethren. I believe the Bible says if you don't love the brother who you can't see, how can you love God who you cannot see? And listen, we're living in a world claiming they're Christians and claiming they're going to heaven, but they hate one another.
Yeah.
And listen, that ain't the love of God.
Yeah.
I find that the love of God's far different than the love of man. Oh, listen, and so the Bible teaches me not to worry about what man has to say. Listen, we're living a life to please God.
That's right.
The love of Christ is absolutely unconditional. If it was with conditions, none of us would be here right
now. That's right.
What that means is, hey, listen, Jesus does not, God did not require us to love Him back before He loved us.
That's right.
You realize in this world there's a lot of people, they have friends, they have family, and they'll claim they love each other, but you let them wrong each other for a moment, hey man, they'll be in the outs for years.
Yeah.
They'll stop talking to one another.
Yeah.
I know people, oh, my best friend, but you let one incident come between them.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad God don't treat us that way.
Yeah.
You realize if God treated us that way, we'd all be without hope right now.
Yes.
Because we've all failed Him. Hey, listen, I failed. You know what Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm the cheapest of sinners. Hey, listen, and I read the Bible, and I admire Paul for what he did in his life. Hey, probably the greatest evangelist whatever lived, and probably one of the best preachers other than Jesus himself. Hey, listen, went everywhere, but Paul said, I was the cheapest.
Yeah.
I mean, we always fail. But I'm glad that Jesus loved Mary.
Yeah.
He loved her sister. He loved Lazarus. He loves me and He loves you.
Yes.
You know my children fail me, Brother Roger, and I still love them.
Yeah.
Hey man, I've had to tell them sometimes there's some things that I'm not going to get into details. There's no need for them. You all have your problems too.
That's right.
We all have our problems and situations in life. And I look back sometimes now and I just see how when I didn't see God moving, how He was moving.
Yeah.
And I can look back now and know that the valley and the trial and the tribulation that we was walking through at the time, it seemed hard and it seemed grievous, and it was something that I had never been in before. You might have walked through something you've never been in before. Yeah. I heard one of the brothers tell you, Brother Roger, this time was hard. This time of year was hard for him. And this is because they had lost their spouse. I've not been through that. You haven't been through that. And if there's things we don't know about each other, or we can't walk through that valley together because I've not gone through that, but I still can look back and see the love of God, how it has brought us each and every one through those times of the hard times. And we stand now and we look back and we say, yeah, that was hard, but thank you, Jesus, that you loved me. And thank you, God, that when I didn't see you was holding me, you were carrying me, and you smoothed everything over and you made it all better. You know, there's still things in my life I want to see answered. There's still things in your life you want to see answered. But even though there's things in my life I want to see answered, I know there's prayers I look back that He's already answered. And I just see God taking step after step after step. Yeah. And sometimes my wife and I, we sit down and we talk. And listen, we have to remind each other, just be patient. Let's just be patient. Sometimes it's longer than 4 days. Sometimes it's longer than we want. Oh, aren't you glad that God's time is not our time?
Right.
And when it's all said and done, friend, and to be truthful about it all, if it was up to me and you, we'd have messed it up a long time ago anyway. But I'm amazed that when God does it, we just step back and allow God to work in our life. And listen, we just pray and keep praying and keep the faith and stay strong and keep lifting Him up and glorifying God. I'm amazed at how smooth God makes things.
That's right.
There's been times in my life I look back and I told my wife, man, I tried way too hard. I should have just let God take it from the start.
Wow.
But you get that? You get that feeling? I'm going to do it by myself.
Yeah.
And before you long, everything's a mess and it's all tore up. And you just got to take this broken mess and just hand it to Christ. Say, Lord, I probably should have gave this to you a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the whole time, how does Jesus love? Unconditionally. He says, I know you tried. I love you.
Yeah.
Just give it to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad that His love is unconditional. It does not require any type of reciprocity. In other words, God don't say you have to love me and do this for me to love you.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
That's the way the world works. Yeah. That's not the way Jesus works. The love of Christ is, I looked this word up, I'm not the smartest person, but the love of Christ is, I was trying to think, how can I explain? It's unmitigated. I looked that up. Unmitigated. I thought, well, what does that mean? Because I didn't know what it meant. So I looked in the dictionary. It says, it's not lessened by anything.
That's right.
God's love does
never change.
Change. It doesn't decrease. It doesn't wane. It doesn't fade.
Yeah.
I mean, the love of the world is like this. Something new and shiny gets your attention. Man, I love it. And it's all about it, and all about it, and all about it. You let time go on, and they get accustomed to it, and they get used to it. Yep. And all of a sudden, it's somewhere else. I like it. Something else has caught my attention.
Yeah.
The love of God in like it.
No.
It never fails. It never lessens. It never fades. It's always right. You know, when I got born again, I'm going to say this. I preach just a little bit about my testimony, if I may, and we'll get right back to the heart of the message in just a minute. But I remember the day I was 17 years old. I got saved over at Riverside Missionary Baptist Church. And I remember getting up, and I remember leaving that day, Brother Roger. And I left it like so many other times in the past, where I felt pretty good. I felt conviction is what I felt. But I thought, well, I'll do better. I'll do better. But then the next day would come, and the weeks and the days would pass, and the weeks would pass, and I'd be right back in the same mess I was in. I remember leaving the day I got saved, how I felt, and hey, listen, it just felt like God had cleansed me and just purged me, and He had covered me, and He washed me. Y'all know the day you got saved. Hey, listen, it ought to make you shout from the housetop. Listen, I left the house of God, and I was driving, and I said, oh God, please don't let this feeling be lessened tomorrow. I want to feel this good tomorrow. Listen, but I was worried because everything else in my life to that point, hey, listen, if I was excited today, tomorrow it was less. But when I got up the next day on a Monday, I had tears. Lord, it feels just as good today as it did yesterday. And Tuesday came, and it felt just as good Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and And I listened to the word of God. And I was wanting to be like a sponge. I just take it all in. I couldn't get enough of it. Because the love of God was all abounding and expounding. And it has never lessened in my life.
That's right.
You can look down in life,
thank you.
And you see the pillars in the church.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you see those men and women that have stood the test of time.
Yes.
And every church has them.
Yes.
And if I went around today, I know that there are many pillars probably in this church over the years that have gone home to be with the Lord.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think back to my life, and there's many men and women that I counted as pillars. Man, I just watched them. Things happen. But they always gave God glory.
Yeah.
And their life, I mean, you couldn't be around them 10 minutes without them talking about the love of God.
Yeah.
And at times when you're young, you say, oh, that's just so old-fashioned. That's not the way it is.
That's right.
I mean, that's how young people think. But I look back now and I say, oh, God, please help me to be a pillar in your house.
Right.
Not for my benefit and not for anything that any good would be said about me, but oh God, that if the world could see your glory and your love through your church, oh God, let it be one of me. Let it be me. I'm reminded in the scripture where Jesus healed some lepers, I believe it was, and they went running off and they were excited. But one of them turned around and he went back to the Lord.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, where are the others?
Yeah.
They didn't know where they were, but he was there to praise God. And listen, if the Lord has saved you and he's blessed you in your life, don't be ashamed of the Lord.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, I believe it was, and he told him, whatever you do, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Hey, listen, Timothy, as he told him there to just be instant in season, out of season, whatever he was preaching, his charge to him. He said, just be ready. I remember your grandmother. I remember your mother. I remember the genuine, unfeigned faith that was in them. And I'm persuaded it is in you.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed in your life.
That's right.
He was encouraging him to be a pillar.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was trying to get under him and help him. I thank God when I was over at Olive Branch, pastor, and this man right here, Brother Lloyd, he'd come in and he'd say, I'm not here to get in the way. I just want to be a help and up. I want to get under you and lift you up. I know that, Brother Roger, you've got men and women here. Whenever you climb in this pulpit and you've had a bad week, or maybe things have happened and you just haven't had time to study, or maybe things have gotten you down and your mind's running elsewhere, maybe problems. Aren't you glad there's pillars in the church that'll come in and say, oh, Brother Roger, we're going to lift you up. We're going to help you. We're going to pray to God to give you strength. Hey, listen, what happens? Because God loves the church and God loves the men that he calls. Listen, Roger, I don't know why I'm going here, but I am anyway, all right? Hey, listen, because I've been in the same situation. You come in, you think, I don't know what I'm going to preach. Those people are tired of hearing me. I've preached for years, have service after service, but yet God sends a message.
Yes.
And it don't come from Roger. It don't come from Lloyd. It don't come from the visiting preacher. Hey, listen, it comes straight out of heaven.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Hey, listen, you want to know why God will pour a message? Because he loves you.
Yeah.
He knows your needs.
Yes, he does.
Thank God he is the good shepherd.
Yes.
Jesus said, He said, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger will not follow. Aren't you glad of that?
Sure.
And he speaks to us. Well, he's already said it. He told Peter, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed the sheep. Wasn't about Peter.
Yeah.
It was about Peter making himself a willing and useful vessel so that God could pour a message through him to feed the lambs and feed the sheep.
Amen.
But I would imagine that Peter, he had those pillars in his life too.
Sure.
And he was certainly one of them for many. God's love and love of Christ has never lessened. It seems like man requires conditions of their love. Confirmation, continual confirmation, don't they? Well, if you love me, you'll do this.
Yeah.
You young people that are dating,
Preach,
I'm going to tell you, if someone ever comes to you and say, well, if you love me, you'll do this, turn away and run from them.
Yes.
Or use this one, if you love me, you'll be in the house of God. If you love me, you'll wait a while. If you love me, you'll put away the lust of the flesh and you'll just come to church with me. I tried to tell my son the other day, we was talking, I said, hey, whatever you do, we was talking about a situation, one of his friends, and he was going on and on about it. I said, well, what he ought to do is don't worry about the things that are, hey, And I told him, I said, if you ever get in a situation, number one, don't be unequally yoked.
Yeah.
That's the first bit of advice. I said, but if you are dating a young lady, and I said, if she won't go to church with you, no matter how much you think you love her, tell her it ain't gonna work out. If she ain't willing to go with you, it ain't going to work out. I said, you might be heartbroken for the moment, but trust me, if you let the world go, God will give you somebody that'll bless your life. He absolutely will. How do you know? Because He loves you. And He loves me.
Sure.
And His love's not a lesson in any way. You pray. My wife prayed real hard before we were married. I got born again while we were dating. I was willing to go to church. God loved me. Love of Christ is unending. I mean, it don't end. I mean, I talked about it. It's unconditional. And it never lessens in some ways, but it never ends.
That's right.
I preached a funeral Friday, and family, extended family, and man, I never seen so many people full of bitterness and hatred. I mean, it was fighting outside of the funeral before we ended the message. People were leaving. People left, and my uncle, he let him and his wife left, and I talked to Mom and Dad yesterday. Mom said, well, your uncle thought you'd probably leave. And I said, why would I leave?
Yeah.
So, man, that woman wanted me to preach a funeral. I was there to preach. And I told every one of them, I'm here to preach. I'm going to honor the last wishes. I didn't even really know her that well. She heard me preach a funeral years ago, I guess, and she told her husband, who's my uncle, she said, I want Victor to preach my funeral. I didn't know half of the people. I was probably related to all of them. But they were just full of bitterness and hatred. I mean, that's the kind of love that love you today. I tell people, I said, you know what, your love for this woman, I mean, your love, you can't go any further with her. I mean, it's over. And those preachers here that are preaching funerals, that's what we tell people. We go to the grave, and the funeral director said, when you start preaching, that casket's right up and you can't hardly see. It was up in the front, and I couldn't hardly see people in the front row. He said, you want us to close that? Simply just close that lid. I said, you leave that lid open.
Yeah.
I said, there's a whole bunch of people in here. They need to say, you'll bother them if you shut that lid. I said, that lid don't bother me at all. Listen, if I can't preach over a casket lid, I got a problem.
Yeah.
And some people were upset because children run around spilling stuff. Somebody came up and they said, I thought you was going to lose your focus. I said, why would I lose my focus? And listen, I wasn't concentrating on the congregation. I was just trying to preach what God gave me.
Yes.
If I can't preach over a screaming child, then something's wrong somewhere. Because when God pours a message through, we're not worried about giving a sermon. We're just worried about serving the Lord, worshiping God. Hey, the church is willing to receive it, and God's pouring it through. It's going to go out.
That's right.
If you're here lost, hey, listen, I don't want you to be distracted either. God's not going to cause distractions and cause his man to get confused in the middle of the way.
Nope.
He loves you more than that. His love's unending. And he goes with us. You realize when they lay you in the grave, lay me in the grave, my wife, I always tease. I always tell her I'm going first. She hates that. But those of you here, I mean, you've seen that over the years, and people pass on, and you always love your spouse. I'm gonna get in some murky water, so bear with me.
You just play the Lord.
You love your spouse, but then you know you there's times when people just don't like being alone. Can't be alone. They need somebody, some company there, and maybe they go out, maybe they remarry and do things, maybe remarry and get somebody else in their life. It does not mean the love for their spouse ended.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm talking about a love. Hey, listen, Christ loves us all the way, unending all the time. And when I lay my life down, you know the one I'm going to see? I might close my eyes. I might be looking at my wife when I close my eyes. But when I open them up, I'm going to see the face of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe Job said, he said, I will see him for myself and not another.
Yeah.
And someday when we get on the other side, I'll see my wife. Of course, I'll know her as my sister, I believe that.
Yeah.
Not married or given in marriage in heaven. We'll be brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
But you know the same love, love me here, is the same love that's going to love me over there.
Yeah.
It's not going to end.
Ever life.
It's eternal.
That's right.
From the beginning all the way to the end.
Amen.
You realize when John in the book of Revelation, he looked up and he said, I saw this multitude. And there was a multitude that no man could number.
Yes.
The elder looked at him and said, John, who are these?
Yeah, preach it.
He said, thou knowest.
Yeah.
He said, John,
these are they.
What you're looking at, John, is those that have come up through tribulation. tribulation and have made the robes white in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
In other words, John, these are the ones that the Savior died for. These are the ones that trusted Him. These are the ones that loved Him. These are the ones that repented. Hey, listen, these are the ones that moved when the Spirit called, and they have washed their robes white. And the love that the Father has for them is going to march them through the pearly gates of heaven. Amen. They're going to live forever because God loved them.
Good job.
Love the Lord. I'm glad He loves me. His love is life-changing. If you don't think the love of Christ will change your life, you've got another thing coming. You don't know Him like you need to know Him.
Yes.
Because when He loves you and you realize how much love He has for you and you repent of your sins and you're born again, your life is forever changed.
Yeah.
The things you love in this world no longer hold anything for you. You don't look at them the same way. You don't like them like you used to. In fact, Apostle Paul said, I hate those things. And the things that I once despised, he said, I love those. I cling to those things. I hated to hear Clarence Neal preach. I couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
But man, when I got saved, I couldn't get enough of him.
Yeah.
I got saved, I couldn't get enough. Hearing Brother Roger, I pulled a cassette out yesterday. My wife and I were cleaning, and I went to the closet. I said, you reckon we ought to throw these things away? I've got a cassette box. Most of you young people don't even know what that is. And we said, well, someday we'll show this to our grandkids and they'll just look at us like we're funny. Yeah. And I had a lot of them. And one of them I pulled out, Roger, I said, this one, I don't even know what it is. And it just had Revival. Some, and I pulled another one, didn't have anything on it. Pulled another one, had I've got Cross Carrier tapes in there. I pulled one out and it said Riverside, 1995, I believe it was, in Revival, Brother Roger Grammer.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I remember a message that he preached over at Riverside. I remember it plainly. It's just one of those things that God has given me. And I don't remember a lot, but I can remember the men that stood and preached. And there are certain messages that they preached that stuck out because I just love to hear the message. It meant something to me. And I thank God that He had men that He used, and I thank God that because He loved me, He sent that to me.
Yes.
If you ever doubt your love, of God's love, you open your Bible some morning or some night and start just reading. And I used to tell the church this over at Riverside. Read the Scriptures with intent.
Yeah.
Don't just open them up to read the words. Read them with intention of getting something out of them.
Yes.
Pray before you open it up. Open it up and read. And all of a sudden, hey, listen, when God begins to stir your heart, you'll be reminded how
that's
much
right.
He loves you.
Yes.
He'll speak to you from His Word. He'll strengthen you in His Word. He'll help you in His Word. And what you might read today that seems like nothing, when you open it up and pray like that and read it there, you'll realize that God is strengthening you through His Word.
Amen. Amen.
He'll change your life.
Yes.
And others will notice it in your life. I had a few months before. His love can be seen in your life. It can be felt in your life.
Yeah.
I could tell you and hug your neck, I love you. I mean, how easy is that to say, right?
Right.
I mean, we're children of God, and we're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
And we get in habits. Oh, I love you. Hug each other. Shake your hands. Hug your neck. It's good to be with you. Love you. Go on. Monday, I might forget I even talk to you. But when I'm talking about a love that goes deeper than that.
Sure.
Hey man, the love of my wife, Brother Roger, I don't have to be face to face with her, but I can feel her love no matter where I am. I can feel the love that she has for me. And then when I walk in a room and just a glance across the room and a smile, I know she loves me. That's how God is. I mean, you come to this house and you just feel His love. Walking in the church, I'm reminded so many churches come into it. And you hear people say, oh, I can just feel the love in that church. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to.
Yeah.
I mean, God loves you. You ought to feel His love in the presence of His people.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like the love of God.
No.
When you can feel it.
That's right.
No.
You that are here lost, I'm going to come to a close. I'm going to ask Brother, I'll turn back over.
You go ahead.
All right. But if you're here lost, some of this love that I preach about, you just don't understand. But Victor, I think I know what love is. But I don't get it like that. You need to get on this altar. Mm-hmm. Listen, man, I'm telling you, you need to feel what it is to be born again.
Yes.
I mean, there is You know what happens to the world? And I know we don't preach on hell a whole lot. It seems like much anymore. And a part of that message, I remember Brother Roger, he was preaching on hell pretty hot. It blessed my heart. But hell is real.
Sure.
I mean, it is a real place.
Yeah.
And I know that there's people saying, well, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. And you might, you young people, you might hear this in your crowd or some of the crowd you walk around with or you pass by in school or college, wherever you are, say, well, I don't need the church. I've got my friends. I used to hear that from my kids sometimes. Yeah. I got my friends. So if you're relying on your friends, you ain't got anything. And if you ever doubt me, go read the Bible where there was a man one time come to his dad and say, Dad, I'm going to paraphrase.
Yeah.
He said, Dad, you're a little old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But you've got something of mine that's my inheritance, and I know you're holding up, and I want it right now.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
Man, he was having a time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All that riotous living, just living it up. Doing whatever he wanted. Dad wasn't there. Mom wasn't there. Nobody correcting. He was eating late, staying up late, doing whatever he wanted to. Nobody stopped. His friends just partying it up. You want to know what happened?
Yeah.
When it was all said and done, he didn't have any more money. His friends couldn't mooch off of him anymore. All those that were there, I'm your best friend. I'm your best friend. I'm your best friend. Let's get another drink. I'm your best friend. Let's do something else. I'm your best friend. Let's just go out and do this, do that. Well, when it all ran out, they were gone.
That's right.
That's the love of the world.
Yeah.
It'll leave you broke, destitute, with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
This was a Jewish man living in a hog pen, feeding the swine.
Yeah.
Had absolutely no business or no place there.
That's right.
That's where the world leads you.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people right now with their eyes lift up out of the depths of hell.
Yeah.
Saying, but where are my friends? Where are my friends? Where are my friends? Well, the friends are right down there with them. But they can't see them. And they're all screaming. And they're all in agony. And they're all begging God for one more chance.
Yeah.
Begging God for one more opportunity to be saved. But it's too late.
Too late.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell you this world is a place to go out and get gain and see all you can gain. You know what this world is? This world is a preparing place where you're going to spend eternity.
Yes.
It's a place to get your spirit, your soul prepared
for
eternity.
Yes.
That's exactly where we're given. Some of us are given a longer time. Some of us are given a short time.
Yeah.
I walked through the grave. You know, one of the things that people think is today, young people, you think the graveyard's full of 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds.
No.
But go down there and park your car one time and walk around. Take a piece of paper and a tablet and write down the numbers.
That's right.
Because there's far fewer 80 and 90 year olds that are 30, 40, 20, 50, even 10.
Yeah.
A little under 10. I mean, it runs the gamut.
Yes, it does.
And so it's not all about a bunch of old people down in the grave. Hey, man, it runs all ages.
Amen.
Death is coming.
Yes.
And you don't know when it's coming to you.
Yeah.
But Christ loves you. He died for you, and Jesus said, today is the day.
Yeah.
Harden not your heart. We love you. I don't know how the singers come and sing. Let's stand to our feet. I want you to know that Christ loves you. This church loves you.
Yes.
I mean, God's people can't help but love you.
That's right. No choice.
I'm not talking about a love. And I know, hey, listen, I've been in places where people want to pick those who they love.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want the drunk to come in our church. Hey, listen, you know what Scripture tells us? Somebody comes in like that, y'all put them right on the front row. Hey, come right here.
Yeah.
I got a place for you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We ought to be willing to get up and give our seat to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll go sit in the back. That's okay. Because between them and between the preacher and those that are in the back praying for them, they ain't got a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to feel heaven one way or another.
Right.
We ought to have that love and desire to share Jesus with those around us.
Amen. Amen.
And when Satan tells you to be quiet in the crowd and the Spirit stirs inside of you and there people are carrying on and doing things, you ought to be strong enough and faithful enough to stand up for God.
Amen.
I mean, there's not a problem. I've done a time or two. There's been times when I've sat with my mouth shut, never said a thing, get out, and the Lord whipped me for it.
Yes.
And then other people think I'm strange because I don't want to hear it. I say, hey, listen, I don't want to hear that.
No.
I don't talk like that. I don't fellowship like that. I don't hear that. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised. I mean, people, some show you respect, some won't. Yeah. But they'll know where you stand.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And trust me, when hard times come their way, Mary, my wife and I were talking about this. I said, when trouble comes, they're calling the church.
That's right.
They're calling those that have stood up and glorified God because they know they need help.
Yeah.
And they know people can't get to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's stand
our
feet.
See you, Robert.
Won't you come? If you need prayer, you need help, you need to feel the love. But if there's not been a change in your life, you can't feel the love of Christ. I know you can see it in the church. You see it on individuals. Because those that are saved, you just can't hide it. I mean, it's on the inside. It works its way to the outside. It bubbles up when the Spirit moves. It'll bubble up inside of you. It cannot be contained. But if you don't feel that stirring, that blessing, that joy, I mean, there's great joy in feeling the love and the presence of God. If you don't have it, I encourage you to come. Don't wait, friend. Jesus loves you. The church loves you. Christ died for you. Won't you let the Spirit of God walk with you every day and show you the love that God has for you?
This morning. I appreciate Brother Victor and Sister Mary stopping by and being with us today. Appreciate most that the Lord stopped by and visited with us in the songs and in the message. But today, you'll never understand these songs or this message until you give your heart to Jesus Christ. You look at us now and you think, they don't know what they're talking about. They're crazy folk over there. Or, you know, they may have a good point, but I'll wait until I'm older. And then I'll try to see what they're talking about. But we have not the promise of tomorrow. We only have today. I made mention of this a few weeks ago here at the church, and I don't know if you've ever delve very deep into thought on this, but did you know the worst thing that a lost person could do is hear the message of God and turn away? They'd been better off had they never heard. But once you hear the word of God and that invitation, you'll stand accountable for what you did with it. You say, God won't hold it against me. I believed what the preacher preached about this morning. I believed in those songs. They sound good. And Jack's testimony, it was good and powerful. A young man is just so proud of how God's blessed him. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But you see, all of that was us trying to express to you our love that God has placed in us. Now it's your choice of what you do with God. His word, these songs, these testimonies, everything that you've heard today, he'll either stand for you or he'll stand against you. Stands for you, that means that when you take your last breath, you'll hear those words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit that kingdom that was prepared for the foundation of the world for you." Or you'll hear those sad words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." You say, "But I went to church. I heard them sing. I heard Jack, that guy, that young guy get up there and testify. I heard Victor preach a message. And I heard Roger many times preach a message. I heard Lloyd preach. The other Sunday, I heard that Shackelford guy preach. You could name every time you went to church, but if you've not done anything with it, you're still lost and undone, unprepared to meet God. Can we have one verse of "Just As I Am"?
God bless.
I know the church, y'all got, Sarah talked about, y'all got a big afternoon planned, and I know that tonight we got a Christmas program, but right now could seal somebody's destiny. Would you follow your heart this morning? And maybe today, you're a Christian, you know God. And you've walked into this congregation today and you're just so downtrodden. You're just so overwhelmed. You feel like the devil has just beat you up and you just feel like you just need just to talk to God. Did you know you could talk to me, you could talk to one of these other preachers, you could talk to your family? But church, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? There is nothing like when you talk to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, it's me.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't even have to say a word. Because
yeah.
He listens to your heart. Y'all sing a verse. I'll get preaching. Y'all just obey the Lord this morning, would you? Whatever you need to do right now. Work quickly. If you're lost, you need to get saved. If you're a child of God, you don't need to carry that burden all by yourself. Give it to God. Come on, while God speaks to you. While God speaks to your heart. It's your choice. But choose wisely. Choose wisely today. I feel like everybody has done what God has put up on their heart to do, except for these that needed to come and pray. And I believe when God says it's over, it's over. Don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate Victor, y'all stopping by and being with us. Sister Mary, we've known for a long time.
How long? I believe I knew him before they even got married. Victor's older than me, I believe. No, I'm just kidding there. I'm just kidding there. But yeah, I've known him a long time and I appreciate him today. Love my brothers and my sisters this morning. And I need to ask y'all to remember tonight, come out prayed up. You say it's only a Christmas program, Roger. Why you put such emphasis on it? Because if God's Spirit moves in that service, we can see people walk down the aisle and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. You say, but it's just a Christmas program. We've seen Christmas program after. How many of you have seen? I couldn't even begin to number how many Christmas programs I've seen. But there's been some that just got hold of my heart and just got a hold of it. And you can tell you've been to church. It's not a program. It's a presentation of the birth and life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And y'all remember Beck. I didn't mention her. I know y'all are. I'm awful bad for not mentioning myself or my family. But remember her in your prayers. And I was thinking, Victor, he said he looked across the room and Mary smiled at him. And he thought she loves me. Sometimes I look across the room and I think, yeah, she loves me. Right? And she's thinking, what did I get into? But it's too late to get out. Right, Ron?
That's right.
Sometimes that happens. Mary's probably had those thoughts too. Yeah. Y'all come back tonight at 6 o'clock.